Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you guys are wide awake because this is second service. You have more time to rest. We're going to begin our time together with a simple interaction, okay? So can I get all of us to stand to our feet? And we're going to do about 70 squats. Are you guys ready? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to begin our time together with a simple question for us. And the question is this. What is your ideal rest day activity? What is your ideal rest day activity? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think, okay? Okay. Fantastic. So right now, I'm going to get us to participate in something. For those of you who are less mobile, you can also participate in this, okay? So the next slide, please. So I'm going to show us 2 options. If you choose option 1 on the left, you take a seat. If you choose option 2 on the right, you stand, okay? So for those who are less mobile, who are wheelchair-bound, or you cannot stand for long, you can just simply left for left hand, right for right hand, okay? So everyone can participate, both here on site and those online as well, okay? So are you guys ready? Okay, next. Lying on the beach or lying in bed? Okay, choose your option. Okay, let's see. Wow, so many people like the beach. Okay, fantastic. Next, how about reading a book or shopping? Wow, I hear an emphatic shopping over here. There are more guys than ladies standing up. This is very interesting. Okay, next, watch a movie or hike a mountain? Hike a mountain, fantastic. We all know what Pastor Kai will choose, right? Pastor Kai will choose hike a mountain. No, he will choose to sit down, of course. All right, next. Playing a sport or playing e-sport, computer games, as a form of rest? Wow. Okay, I see the younger one standing up for e-sport. Okay, last but not least, do you prefer to listen to a live band sing or do you prefer to hear yourself sing? Choose the option. Okay. Worship team, you take a look. Those who stand, they are all your worship team members, okay, in the future. You're welcome. Thank you so much for participating in this. This morning, we're not looking at our next ideal rest activity or holiday. What we're going to look at this morning is what is rest according to what God designed and intended. So this morning, we're going to look at that. But before I continue, let me pray for us. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your word. And we give thanks for how every season, every circumstance of our life, your word gives us that timely and timeless word in season. So Lord, we look to you this morning as we uncover and hear what it means to rest according to your purposes and glory. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit. This week's sermon title, as the preaching team discern, we have decided to title it as Holiday or Holy Day. Is Sabbath a day where we just go on holiday, or is it a day to which it's consecrated as a rest upon and rest on to the Lord? So we're going to look at Leviticus 23, verses 1 to 3. But before we dive in, it's helpful for us to see where we have been on in this pulpit series thus far in our journey. Last week, we had Step Up Sunday. Step Up Sunday is an annual Sunday in the year where we encourage those old and new covenanters, for those who are not serving anywhere, to consider serving in one of the ministries in our church. Because we believe here in Covenant ESC that everyone has a part to play to make this place their home. But you know, sometimes God calls us to step up and serve, and there are also times to which God calls us to step aside, step away, and rest. And this morning, we're going to look at what he tells us as we jump back into the Leviticus study. This year, we're going through the book of Leviticus. And we're going back to the study of Leviticus this morning. And we're in the second last bubble from chapters 23 to 25, where we are looking at God's holy rhythms. God's holy rhythms that he put in place for his people. And we're going to zoom in specifically to the Sabbath day in particular. Reason being because the subsequent weeks, the team will unpack the other feasts and festivals. So we're just going to focus on Sabbath today. And so, would you mind if we read the scriptures for today together out loud? Shall we do that? Leviticus 23, 1 to 3. Ready? The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places.'" This is the word of the Lord. So this is the focus for this morning. And as we look at the whole concept and idea of Sabbath or Shabbat, it is one of the most important holy rhythms that God gave to his people. The whole concept of Shabbat is, in essence, the word means to rest in its purest form, to rest, to cease from doing anything. So that's the idea of Shabbat, rest. Now, if you may be wondering, what does it look like in a modern day Israelite context? What does it look like for a Jew, an Israelite today, on how they practice Shabbat rest? A Time magazine recently described what a modern-day Jew is not allowed to do on Shabbat. So here's an example and description. It says, Jews were prohibited from driving, turning electricity on or off, spending money, or using any kind of screen, including phones. Anything that burnt energy or distracted from reflection, prayer, and family and communal time. So this is a description of what a modern-day Jew does not do on Sabbath. Some of you may be seated there and wondering, wow, this is wonderful. I don't need to do anything. Especially for parents, wow, no phones allowed. Praise the Lord. But you know, as you sit there also, you may be thinking, this is something that's specific to the people of Israel. This is something specific to the people of Israel. Now, as new covenant people, as people under the new covenant, believers of Jesus Christ, we don't necessarily have to practice Sabbath because it's not mandatory as we read the scriptures in the New Testament. You're absolutely right to say that we don't have to necessarily practice Sabbath the way the people of Israel does today, but there are principles to which we can appreciate and benefit from and incorporate into our life. Not the same way that the people of Israel practice, but nonetheless, as people of God in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, there are benefits as well. And so this morning, we're going to ask this fundamental question: why does Sabbath rest matter today? And so this morning, we're going to unpack two key reasons for us. And it's especially important in today's context, especially in Singapore, because we are so, so busy. We have so many things to do. One of the common phrases that we know and are familiar with, you snooze, you. See, the fact that you know this means that we are in that cultural narrative where we cannot stop working. In fact, in the recent Channel News Asia article, there's actually a new Marvel character. Her name is called Jitter. It's a Singaporean teenager. And you want to know what's a superpower based on her name, Jitter? Let's look at the description. This is what it says. Her ability, Sophia Young, very Singaporean. I was just thinking to myself, might as well just go all in Singaporean. Why don't you just call it Ken Chong? Say faster, Ken Chong, Ken Chong, Ken Chong. More Singaporean, right? But anyways, her special power is that she can do anything that she sets her mind to. Talents and things that people take a lifetime to develop, she can do it. That's her superpower. But she can only do it for 1 minute. 1 minute only. And she has a stopwatch on her at all times, so she never has to slow down, not even to sleep. crazy, isn't it? Even the world knows what Singaporean lives look like. If you want to put this simply, right, it's just a glorified version of a burnt-out teenager. That's essentially what it is. That's a superpower, which is not really something to be proud of, by the way. But as you see in our lives, everyone knows, we ourselves know, that we have been working, doing so many things that we don't know how to rest. That's the narrative to which we live by. And so it's important for us to look, why does Sabbath rest matter today? And the first key reason that we'll look at this morning is that when Sabbath rest matters because it reminds us, first and foremost, of God's covenant. God's covenant for His people. If you look with me to Leviticus 23, verses 2 and 3 in particular, you will come to see that the appointed feast that God talks about, He sets up the whole chapter subsequently, chapters 23, 24, and 25. He says, the appointed feast of the Lord, they are my appointed feast. In verse 3, it says, it is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. What this means then, my friends, is that all the feasts, all the rhythms that God set in place from chapters 23 to 25, they are meant to help the people of God to remember who God is. It's all about God. It is from God. It is for God in everything that they celebrate for. For example, in the holidays that we celebrate, for example, National Day, we celebrate National Day to what? To remember how far our nation has come and to celebrate the people that have built the nation. Likewise, for the feast that we will see subsequent weeks, it's all focused on who God is and what He has done. And in particular for the Sabbath, it is a time for the people to stop, to cease from doing anything, to remember who they are in light of what God has already done for them. I love one of the statements and the descriptions of Sabbath. Actually, in this morning, Lecture 365 devotion, Walter Brueggemann, he actually described Sabbath as this. He says this, it is the refusal to let one's life be defined by production and consumption and the endless pursuit of private well-being. That's one description that Walter Brueggemann uses with regards to Sabbath. But as we come back to this, we see that Sabbath, Shabbat, is a very important piece of God's people and their life as a whole. So much so that Shabbat is actually instituted in the Ten Commandments. If you look at Exodus 20, verse 8, for example, the fourth commandment, the commandment is what? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is so important that God instituted it into the Ten Commandments. And as we look further down, in Exodus 31, for example, we will see in Exodus 31, we come to see the core reason why God instituted Sabbath to begin with. In Exodus 31, verses 13 to 14, it says, we will look closely, that the covenant is ultimately, Sabbath is a covenant between God and His people. In verse 13, it says, it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Verse 14 then goes on to say, if anyone profanes it, the Sabbath day shall be put to death. And whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And finally, verse 16, we see that it is ultimately a covenant forever with His people. So in Exodus 31, we begin to see more clearly what is God's purpose of the Sabbath. It is so important that God says, whoever works on that day shall be cut off from the people. And the reason is very clear. Because fundamentally, as we look through the whole book of Leviticus, one of the common phrases we see is, be holy for I am holy. Everything that God calls His people to do and live are all linked and directed to how they are to live in their daily lives. And by keeping the Sabbath, they are showing that they are people that belong to God. People who have been set apart for God, for His purposes. And that's the reason why God says you will be cut off from the people if you work on that day. So that's the gravity of the importance of Sabbath, but also more importantly, to see and help us to know of the covenant to which God instituted and gave to you and I. And so as people take time off to rest from doing all these things, what happens is that it gives them time and space to reflect upon who God is, what He has done in their lives and in the world. And they come to recognize and remember, this is the God whom I worship, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who created something out of nothing. It is a God who is Jehovah Jireh, the God who reigns in victory. It is Jehovah Nissi, the God who provides. It is Jehovah Shalom, the God who is the Prince of Peace. As they sit to rest, as they sit to reflect on God, they begin to bring to mind the character of who God is. And that's what we sang at anniversary service at IDMC conference. We sang about who God is. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, of how God continues to be faithful in the past 46 years and how He continues to be faithful in the next lap ahead. That's what happens when we give time and space, when we rest in the presence of God. We are reminded of God's covenant. Now, as we think about this, what does it look like then for us today to practice, to cultivate Sabbath? Different ones of you have different work schedules, lifestyles, and so it might be challenging to prescribe one way and the only way to go. Whatever way and whatever form you choose, the most important thing is that we must take time to rest. Regardless of which day you choose, regardless of what activity you do, ultimately, you must take time to rest. It is beneficial for you and I. And here in Covenant EFC, for those who are working on staff, the pastors and staff, our off days are on Tuesdays. On Tuesdays, because we work on Sunday, and so Tuesdays are our off day. So I'm going to share a little bit of what I do in the day of a life of my rest day. Okay, just to show how there are different kinds and different ways of resting. So for me, on my off day on Tuesday, I wake up around 9 a.m. and then I'll spend some time with God in His Word and prayer and in His devotion. After doing that, then I'll go on to go to the gym and do my workout. 70 squats, no more than that. But anyways, so I'll do that, my workout, and I'll go back home, prepare myself to go for badminton. Who likes badminton here? Oh, only a few. Badminton's great. It's good for everyone. Anyways, so I'll prepare to go for badminton. I'll play badminton with my parents and my parents-in-law. We'll play together every Tuesday for 2 hours. We'll play badminton just four of us. And then we just rotate. But anyways, we do that for 2 hours and then we go for lunch. And at this time, it'll probably be about 2 plus 3. I'll head back home. And then I will do that one particular household chore that I love doing. Want to make a guess? No, it's not ironing. I don't like to iron. I like to vacuum. There's something beautiful about sucking out all the dirt. I don't know. So that's what I like to do. But I'll do that. But amongst other things, whatever my wife asks me to do that requires attention, I will do my best to be obedient to her and follow that request. So that's what I do for the time period when I come back home around 3 p.m. So that will take about an hour. Around 4:30, I'll then either take a nap or take some time to read my book that I have started. So I read different books. Currently, I'm reading a leadership book. So I'll take some time to read through that. And then about 5:30, then I will go on YouTube for my own personal growth and learning to watch what God is doing in the other churches. So I watch online services, online worship services, to learn and grow. So then it comes about 7:30, that's when I go for dinner with my parents. We visit them every once a week on Tuesdays, and then I'll have dinner together with my wife and then meet my brother as well for dinner and fellowship. So that's roughly my time, my Sabbath day of rest, where I take time to not just rest physically, but time with God, time to reconnect and to sit and give space to be conscious of God's presence in my life. Now, that will look different for you. with your different schedules. For those who are on shift work, I recognize you can't have a fixed day, but regardless of whether you have shift work or a fixed schedule, take time. I encourage you to take time to do so. And that's the thing that we see and we come to learn, firstly, about how it reminds us of God's covenant. The second thing is that it helps reorient us to God's call. Sabbath matters because it helps reorient us back to God's call. If you look carefully now with me to Leviticus 23, verse 3, we come to see and learn that the rest to which God calls us to, it's one to which we likewise bring to the communities that God places us in. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. Wherever we go, we bring the rest that God calls us to into the communities that He has placed us in. Shabbat does not find its origin in Leviticus or Exodus. Shabbat finds its origin in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, we see God Himself resting. In verse 3, it says, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation." The final creative act that God did wasn't to create human beings. The final creative act that God did was to rest. It was to rest. I like what John Koesler has to say with regards to rest over here. He says this. He says, God's rest is the rest of completion rather than restoration. On the seventh day, all God's work was finished. I find this to be very insightful because the rest to which you and I would usually think from a worldly perspective is that we rest because we are tired. We rest because we're tired. But unlike us, God is a God who does not need to rest physically. He cannot get tired at all because He's omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's all-powerful. There's no need to rest. To which John Cuesta has rightfully pointed out that God's rest is a rest of completion. After God has set out to do all that He has planned, upon finishing it, He ceased and He stopped. He rested. Like how when we've done a very long and big project, we take a step back after we've completed it and we go, wow, that was an amazing journey. Wow. Look at how far we have come in all the things that we have done for this particular project. That's what God did. He rested. He rested. You know, as we think about resting in particular, some of us may struggle to rest. Some of us may struggle to rest. You know, I recently saw an advertisement on the MRT train station, and this is what it says. Escape to Taiwan. You know, every time they would feature different nations and countries asking you to fly this, fly that. But you know, it was insightful for me because as I thought about it, escape to Taiwan, it reminded me of how we think about holidays. We see holidays as a way to escape the world to which we live in, to escape from the busyness, to escape from the craziness of life today. And so we escape to go for a holiday. But what happens is that we find ourselves, and probably you heard someone say it before, I need a holiday from my holiday. I need a holiday for my holiday. Because we come to realize that the rest that we seek and we so desire can't be found in holidays. You can go as many holidays as you want and you can still not be rested. Because fundamentally, we as human beings, we were created for a rest beyond just resting physically. We were created to rest ultimately in God Himself. It's a restedness that comes from within, not from without. And that restedness can only be found in God. No wonder St. Augustine of Hippo, in his autobiography, Confessions, had this to say. He says, "Because you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Deeply profound and deeply true. The rest that we desire to find, the rest that we desire to seek in the material things of the world will find it to be fleeting unless we find it in God and God alone. Just now, Pastor Ivan talked about how there are breakthrough weekends coming up for the men, the women, the marriage breakthrough weekend this year. I'd like to encourage you, if you have not gone for a breakthrough weekend for a long time, or if you have not been to one, please go sign up and be a part of this amazing space where we take time off to rest, take time off from all your busy schedules to connect with God once more. And as you leave the breakthrough weekend, that you will live from a place of rest. That's the purpose, that's the point, that you encounter the breakthrough with God. So I encourage you to consider the upcoming breakthrough weekends happening this year. For the young adults, you are very swamped with so many things, and resting also is difficult for you. And one of the ways we intentionally try to help our young adults in Covenant to rest is through different activities of resting, whether it be board games, whether it be running, whatever that may be. I encourage you to go and do that. Take some time off to do that. And so for you to get connected to that, here is a QR code, actually, of our YIC Telegram group chat. If you're a young adult from 19 to 35, or if you have your son or daughter who are in this age group, take a picture, scan this QR code, and join our Telegram group chat for all the things happening in our young adult space, so that you can find time to rest, and also whatever that's happening. Okay? So take time to do that. How many of y'all know Chick-fil-A? How many of y'all Chick-fil-A, the fast food chain? Fantastic. Recently, they made waves in Singapore where they opened a two-day pop-up of their Chick-fil-A brand. They have great chicken sandwich, great fries, great Chick-fil-A sauce, but more than the food they produce, one of the things I really love about this fast food chain is the company ethos and purpose. If you go to the Chick-fil-A website, the corporate purpose of this fast food chain, this mega fast food chain, is this. If you can see and read, it says, to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. Here we see a fast food giant, right smack at the center of their vision and purpose. They say, I want to glorify God by being a faithful steward in all that is entrusted. I was like, wow, incredible. And you know, the founder, which you can see on the right, he passed away in 2014. And this is one of the quotes that I found so meaningful that they used to put on the website. And it says this. He says, we should be about more than just selling chicken. We should be a part of our customers' lives and the communities in which we serve. Here is a fast food chain specializing in chicken sandwiches saying that we should be more than just selling chicken. We should be involved in the lives of the customers. And you know what the most amazing thing is? They live out that reality. In the way they interact with the customers, the smile, the joy they bring to the customers is second to none. But you know what's the most amazing thing about this company? Is that on Sunday, all the Chick-fil-A stores are closed. All of them are closed. From a business perspective, from an operational perspective, it's a terrible idea. Terrible idea, because Sunday is the highest footfall. Sunday is also where your highest sales are. But the founder said, when I start this company, I want to honor and glorify God. On Sunday, everyone is not going to work. Everyone's going to rest. More importantly, everyone's going to go to church to worship God, to give time and space for Christians to worship God. I was like, wow. Amazing. And you know what's the most amazing thing? The communities that they wanted to reach, to serve, the customers they wanted to serve, they also recognize this, that on Sunday, I can't get my Chick-fil-A sandwich. It's closed. And they come to know right smack at the start that the Chick-fil-A is a company, it's a fast food chain that honors and glorifies God. My friends, I don't know about you, but do you begin to see that as we reorient ourselves back to God's call upon our lives to bring rest to our communities, rest fundamentally, it is really an act of faith in God. Rest is an act of faith in God. When we choose to say, I choose to rest, you are essentially saying, I choose to trust Not in my ways, not in the ways of the world. I choose to trust in God, in His sovereignty, that my life, my job, my family, my circumstance are in the palm of the hand of God. That essentially is what rest is. Rest is an act of faith. It has a missional aspect. When everyone around us say, we must keep working, we cannot stop, we cannot stop. Here you are. Resting in the fundamental truth that God is in control. And that speaks volume, more than what we share about the gospel, how we choose to live our lives, how we choose to rest, speaks volume of our trust, our relationship in God. And so, my friends, rest is not just resting, that's what we thought. I hope we see that in the scriptures, that it's a gift from God. It's something to which we are called to embrace. John Coesler again says this about rest. He said, rest is not an inner state that can be produced by thinking a certain way or placing ourselves in the right condition. It is obtained only by entering into a relationship. When we find Christ, we find rest. This morning, some of you here, as we take some time to reflect on the scriptures today about rest, different one of you are in different situation and circumstance. Some of you are afraid, if I rest, I may not be able to finish my work, the deadlines that my boss gave me. Some are afraid, when you rest, it means that your performance may not be as good as everyone else and you can't climb the ladder. You can't reach the expectations and the titles that you desire to reach in the corporate world. However, as we've seen from Chick-fil-A's testimony, Chick-fil-A's purpose was to glorify God and to be faithful stewards to all that has been given to them. And you know what's the most amazing thing? If you look at the sales records of Chick-fil-A, though they rest on Sunday, their sales record continues to be one of the highest amongst all the fast food chains in the world. And it is a testimony. It is a testimony of who God is to His people. That as we continue to trust, not in the things of the world, but to trust in God and rest in that presence of God, we begin to see the wonder-working power of God in and through our lives. This morning, God holds your life, your careers, your university journey, all in the palm of His hands. And this morning, God desires all of us to have that rest. And so right now, I'm going to give us some time as you think about this question before we respond to the Lord. How can we make time for God so that we are conscious of His presence as we rest? How can we make time for God so that we can be conscious of God's presence while we rest? Whatever form and shape that takes, God invites you to invite Him into your life. Because it's not just about my me time anymore, but it is God's time with me. Let me say that again. It is not just about me time, but it is God's time with me. That's the fundamental difference between a rest normally and a rest that is centered upon God. It is time that God has with me. So I'm going to give us some time to do so as you come before the Lord. Just a few moments right now, wherever you're at. Ask the Lord, how can I be conscious of Your presence as I rest in You? Whether it be going out to work, whether it be at home, how can I make time, find time to be conscious of Your presence in my life? I'm going to give us a few moments to do so here on site and online, and after which I'll get the worship team to sing this song for us, and then I'll come back for a time of response. Thank you.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Let's rise in this place and sing this together. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him.
People of God, this morning, God desires to give you rest today. Yes. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, where the weight of sin bears on His shoulder, and when He declares, "It is finished," He meant it. That's the reason why Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This morning, Jesus invites all, whether you're far, you're near to God. This morning, Jesus invites all, both on site and online, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the promise that Jesus gives for now and forevermore because of what He has done on the cross. And so this morning, whatever burdens, whatever weariness that is in you right now, God invites you to bring it before Him. To bring it before Him at His feet so that He will give you the rest that comes from the inside out. This morning, if that is you, wherever you're at, both on-site and online, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that God will renew your soul from the inside out. If that is you this morning, would you lift your hands wherever you're at, here on site and online? If that's you, raise your hand so that God can come and renew and refresh you this morning. Yes, the Lord sees your hands all across the room here on second level and third level, and I trust by faith online as well. Father, you see the hands that are raised to you. Father, we come in response to you that you call us, that those who are heavy laden, those who are burdened, we come to you and we seek and we ask for your rest, for that rest that comes from you and you alone. That ultimately the rest is not a state, it's really a relationship that you, Lord, have given to us. One that we come and confide in you, one that we can always run to you knowing that you have our backs because of the Spirit of the living God that you have given to us, that lives in us. And so, Lord, I pray for the hands that are raised. Lord, would you renew them? Would you take all that is weighing them down and would you remove it and replace it by the power of your Holy Spirit? And would you refresh them now? Refresh them now in the name of Jesus, I pray. Refresh them in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may put your hands down. There's a second group of people I like to speak to, and they are those who desire to find that rest in Christ and they have not put their faith in Jesus. This morning, as you hear the Word of God proclaimed and you say, enough is enough. I've tried to find rest in all the wrong places. It's time to find it in the right place, to find it in the right person. And His name is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if this morning this is you, if you have never put your faith in Jesus ever, this morning I like to pray for you. So we all heads bow and all eyes closed, both on site and online. If that is you, I like to pray for you. And as an act of simple faith, I'm going to get everyone to repeat after me so that they don't feel alone. So with all heads bow and all eyes closed, would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth to die on the cross for my sins and you raising from the dead on the third day. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you have just said the prayer with the rest of the believers here in the house of God, both on site and online, I want to pray for you. At the count of three, I want you to raise your hands to God, not to anyone, but to God and God alone. If that is you, I want you to raise your hand at the count of three. One, two, three. Is there anyone here in the house? Yes, the Lord sees your hand. Yes, the Lord sees your hand. In the front here. Anyone else at the back and level three? I'm not going to rush through this. This is a special moment that you have with time and God. Would you lift your hands higher so that I can see and pray for you? Yes, the Lord sees your hands all across the room. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Father, we give thanks for this salvation to you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that these people, as they enter this new relationship of rest that is found in you, God, I pray, Lord, that this day, that they will not look to anywhere else for the rest of their lives. that they'll come to come and live and work and do everything from a place of rest, because they have found you, and it's only in you that they can find true rest. So I pray, Lord, as they enter into this new relationship with you, I pray, Lord, that they'll continue to be connected to the body of Christ, that they continue to discover who you are to them every single day of their life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Let's sing the song, I Trust in Lord.
Oh, I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. Let's sing this.
I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
You'd spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.